As we think about Mother's Day here this morning, and as we think about our passage today, I want each and every one of us to notice by introduction that one of the most influential people on this earth are mothers. William Ross Wallace once said that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And from the time children are born, they are constantly dependent upon their mothers. Children look to their mothers for food and for sustenance. They look to their mothers when they are frightened or in need. They look to their mothers for physical and emotional provisions. And to a child, oftentimes, their mother is everything to them in this life. I think about a story of a little boy. He was getting prepared to give a presentation from his Sunday school class in front of the church. And when it came time for him to give his line, he completely went blank and he forgot his lines. But his mother was sitting right in the front row. And so the mother, trying to help out her son, she started mouthing the words to the son, but he just couldn't get it. He had gone completely blank, had no idea what his line was. And so finally she leaned forward and she whispered these words to her son. She said, "I am the light of the world." And that son beamed with joy, and with great excitement, he proclaimed to that church, he said, "My mother is the light of the world." And although that is not theologically correct, all right, this morning, we would agree with the sentiment. For mothers truly are the light in the lives of children. And although fathers also would play an important role in raising their children, in about a month's time, we're going to have Father's Day. It's not as big as Mother's Day, but we're going to have Father's Day. And fathers play an important role when it comes to raising their children for the Lord. But many times it is the mother who bears the bulk of that load on a daily basis. Mothers are usually the ones preparing the meals for the children. Mothers are often the ones cleaning up cuts and bandaging the scrapes when a child gets hurt. Mothers drive their children from music lessons to ball games to after-school programs to after-school programs to music lessons again and then to ball games and over and over. And mothers often are the ones that help their children with their homework and stay up late to help finish their school projects on busy nights. And according to salary.com, stay-at-home moms on average work 94.7 hours a week. If they got paid, their income would be $113,000 a year. That would be their salary. And their job description requires them to be laundry machine operators, janitors, taxi drivers, computer operators, housekeepers, daycare center teachers, cooks, chief executive officers, psychologists, psychiatrists, facilities managers, and so much more. And then those mothers who work an outside job don't have it any easier. And the average is they work 44 hours a week at their job and then 49 more hours at home with their family. And mothers this morning are the only true people that know the meaning of 24/7. And I advocate that truth, that mothers are truly the only ones that are on call 24/7 when it comes to their family. And we thank God this morning for every mother. And we thank you, mothers, for your sacrifice. And we thank you, mothers, for your enduring love for your children and also for your husband this morning. And as we look at Proverbs chapter 31 today, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you concerning these thoughts on becoming a virtuous mother for the Lord and for your family, or at the same time, continuing to be a faithful and a virtuous mother for your family and your home. And so first of all, notice with me as we go through these verses, I find here first off the personality of a virtuous mother. The personality of a virtuous mother. And look at what it says there in verse number 26, right at the beginning. The Bible says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom." And the first personality or character attribute that I find when it comes to a godly and a virtuous mother is that this mother is wise. That she has wisdom in her life, that when she opens her mouth, out comes with wisdom. And you see this morning, the mouth is the revelation of what truly lies within our hearts. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And we find that in the New Testament in Luke chapter 6, verse number 45. The Bible says there, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And therefore a person who opens their mouth with wisdom must be a wise person at heart. And this wisdom that we speak about in Proverbs chapter 31 is not mere knowledge. That's not what it's speaking about here this morning. And it's not speaking about an accumulation of information, but this wisdom that we speak about in the Bible is a special understanding concerning life that gives people spiritual discernment and godly judgment in their life. For this spiritual wisdom does not come from experience. And this spiritual wisdom that we speak about in the Bible does not come from education. And the spiritual wisdom from the Bible does not come from the world. But the Bible is very clear that it can only come from God. And it comes through His Word that we can attain and have wisdom within our hearts. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." It is wisdom that comes from above. It is not the wisdom of the world that is sensual and devilish, but it's the wisdom of God that comes from above that allows us to have spiritual discernment, that gives us right godly judgment, to know how to make right decisions for the Lord, what is right and what is wrong and what is pleasing in the sight of God. And this wisdom comes from the Lord. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And therefore knowledge and understanding and wisdom comes from the mouth of God, which comes from the words of God. And in this context, God commands us to receive those words, and God commands us to memorize those words, and God commands us to personally know and internalize those words in our lives. A few verses prior to that, in verse number 1 of Proverbs chapter 2, the Bible says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding." And God says, if you will put my words within you, in your heart, then what will come out of your life are words and actions of wisdom. And I realize that's a very simple thought here this morning, but unfortunately, a lot of us fail to practice that in our daily life. I think about a cup this morning. And this is not rocket science today, but if you have a cup and you take it to maybe a drinking fountain, you choose whatever drink you want to drink, or you put something else within there, whatever we fill our cup with is what will eventually come out. Nobody goes there and fills it up with Coke and then goes back to their seat and expects coffee to come out of that cup. That person would be insane. So whatever you fill that cup with, eventually that will come out of that cup. If you fill it with Coke, out comes Coke. If you fill it with iced tea, out comes iced tea. And I know this is a very simple thought this morning, all right? This is not very profound, but that is what takes place. If you fill it, that's what eventually will come out of that cup. But likewise, that's what happens in our lives. And we must realize that here this morning. And we must ask the question, what am I filling my heart with every single day? Look, if we fill our heart with anger, then sooner or later, anger is going to come out. You know why we yell at our children? You know why we yell at our spouses? You know why we get frustrated and we can't hold our temper in? It's because we're allowing anger to enter into our hearts. And when we get angry, we're not bringing that before the Lord, but we're allowing that to stew within our hearts. And therefore, what we fill our hearts with will eventually come out. If we fill our hearts with worldliness and we fill our hearts with sin, then eventually worldliness and sin is going to come out in our words and in the actions that we have. And then if we fill our lives with God's Word and we fill our lives with the Holy Spirit of God, then out will come wisdom from our words and from our actions. And you see here this morning, the Scriptures teach us continually this Bible principle that one cannot be wise in life. One cannot have the wisdom of God in life. You might have the wisdom of the world. You might have the wisdom of your career. You might have the wisdom in some other area of life, but you don't have the wisdom of God apart from the Word of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. It's out of His mouth that He gives us understanding and knowledge here this morning. It is the Lord that gives us wisdom through His Word, which is the Bible here today. But I want to encourage you this morning that the wisdom of God that we find in the Scriptures is not set apart for a special group of people. You do not need to be a theologian to have the wisdom of God upon your life, but God's wisdom is available for all Christians. God's wisdom is available for every mother here this morning, every father here this morning, every Christian this morning. God's wisdom is available to each and every one of us if we would simply seek the Lord and humbly ask Him by faith. And the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, and I don't know about you, but that's me. I lack wisdom every single day. And the top three prayer requests that I have every single morning is wisdom, that God would give me wisdom in my life. And the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It does not say, let him ask of some other person. It does not say, let him ask of Google. It does not say, let him ask of another book, but let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, freely, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And therefore, this morning, every single mother can have spiritual discernment, and every single mother can have godly judgment, because wisdom comes from the Lord, and it comes from above. I think about my mother this morning. She passed away a few years ago, but I thank God for her wisdom. My mother was not a highly educated lady, meaning she did not have a degree from a fancy university. She did not have a high position in some company or some position throughout society. She spoke very little English, and it was difficult for her to get by in the culture that we live in here today. And she didn't have, maybe from the world's perspective, what would be considered a person that'd be successful out in the world. But I thank God my mother had wisdom. And she had wisdom because she loved the Lord. And she had wisdom because every morning she prayed before God. And she had wisdom because every morning she would open up her Bible and she would read through the scriptures before she did anything else in her life. And so often I've gone to my mother and she's given me such wisdom in my life. Not because she was educated at the highest universities, not because she was trained at the best companies, but she took time in the Word. And she spent time with God on her knees before the Lord. And she was a wise mother that raised us for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, mothers, I want to encourage you to be a successful mother. You don't have to have all the degrees. You don't have to have all the knowledge of the world. But you need to know this book. And if you know the Word of God, God will give you wisdom on how to raise your children and to be a godly wife and a godly mother. And so we find here, first of all, that she's a wise woman. But secondly, I want you to notice as we continue in verse number 26, she is a kind woman. She is a kind woman. And the Bible says as we continue, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And that word kindness there means loving kindness. It means to be gracious and full of mercy. And so a virtuous mother here this morning is not a rude mother. A virtuous mother this morning is not brash. She is not critical. She is not always self-assertive, but she is kind and humble, and she has a meek spirit. And the Bible speaks about a godly woman, and the Bible speaks about a godly spirit in the sight of God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3, the Bible says, "Whose adorning," speaking about godly women, godly mothers, "whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." And God says a meek and a quiet spirit is of great price, meaning that it's very expensive. Speaking about the fact that a woman with a meek and quiet spirit is of great value and precious in the sight of God. And the world this morning tries to teach that a meek and a quiet spirit is a weak spirit, and that it is an oppressed spirit. But meekness in the Bible is not equivalent to weakness, but rather it denotes strength that is under control. And I think about some Bible characters that were called meek within their life. And first of all, I think about the Old Testament. I think about Moses. Moses was a wonderful leader. He's the one that led the Israelites out of Egypt. And the Bible speaks about the fact that he was considered the meekest person in his generation. In Numbers chapter 12, verse number 3, this is the Lord speaking about the characteristic of Moses. He says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." And Moses was not weak in his life, but we find here Moses was meek in his life, in that he was selfless, in that he was compassionate towards others in his life. He always thought about his people before he thought about himself. And that was the godly characteristic that he had. He was meek in that he considered his people first before he considered the needs and the wants of himself. And we find the heart of Moses in Exodus chapter 32. This is when the people had sinned against God. And God was about to place his judgment upon the people of Israel. And this was the prayer that Moses gives unto the Lord. It says, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And that was the heart and the meekness of Moses. Moses says, "Wait a minute, God, if you're going to judge the people, hey, I pray that you would forgive them. And if you would not forgive them, then would you take me out of the book of life? Would you blot me out? And would you judge me instead? And would you forgive them of their sins?" And that was the heart of this godly man by the name of Moses. I think about in the New Testament, we find another character that is considered meek in the scriptures, and it is Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And Jesus definitely was not weak, but he was meek. Jesus was God in the flesh. He is the God-man. He is omnipotent. There is nothing that Jesus could not do. But we find here the characteristic of Jesus was that he called himself meek and lowly of spirit. He was not saying that I am weak, but rather he was expressing his love, the fact that he himself strove to have no reputation, but gave his life in service and sacrifice for others. And in Mark 10:45, the Bible says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And you see, that is the personality of a virtuous woman and a virtuous mother. And if you let me go further, a virtuous father and a virtuous Christian. That first, we would be wise, that we would have wisdom from God. But then secondly, we would be kind, that we would have a meek and a lowly spirit. One that does not always think about myself. One that is not always asserting my own needs and my own desires, but always looking out for the desires and the needs of others before my own. And so we find here the personality of a virtuous mother. But then as we continue, I want you to notice in verse 27, I find the pursuits then of a virtuous mother. So first we find the characteristics or the personalities to be wise and to be kind. But now I want you to notice the pursuits. This is what she is engaged in. This is what her time is being taken up with. We find the pursuits of a virtuous mother. And first of all, I want you to notice her family. Her first pursuit that we find in the scriptures is her family. In verse number 27, the Bible says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household." And her first priority in life after the Lord is her family. She is a loving mother to her children. And she is a faithful wife to her husband. And in Proverbs 31, verse number 11, the Bible says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." She is a person of moral integrity and one that is trustworthy to her husband. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." And so a virtuous woman is a joy to her husband and not a grief to her husband. And a virtuous woman is a blessing and not a burden. But furthermore, we find in Proverbs 31:15 that she is faithful to meet the needs of her family. And the Bible says there, "She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens." And so we find here that her first pursuit is her family, to meet the needs of her husband and to meet the needs of her children. And so this virtuous mother we find here in the scriptures has other pursuits. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But her primary passion and pursuit after God is her family, managing and attending to the affairs of the home. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1 down to verse number 5, the Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." And look at what they're supposed to teach to the younger woman now. Verse number 4, "That they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And let's be honest here this morning, that's not a popular verse in the 21st century. If I went out into the public and I stood at the corner and I read Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, there'd be a lot of ladies and probably a lot of men that would come and throw things at me and say, "Hey, get off the street." But that is what we find in the word of God. And I want us to have a proper understanding of this fact that the mother's primary pursuit ought to be the home, because we live in a society and a generation today where the radical feminists have tried to disparage the position of a homemaker or a housewife. And often it is out of a spirit of rebellion and an anti-family and an anti-marriage and an anti-God position. The feminist movement tried to march under their banner of freedom and equality, and nobody is against that. There is not a greater proponent of equality and freedom than the Lord Jesus Christ. For when one comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're all one under the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no male, there is no female. They are all equal in the sight of God. And so there was no greater proponent for equality and freedom than the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to the radical feminist movement, their underlying agenda is very different. For their goal is to fundamentally transform the bedrock of society, which is the family, which is the home, which is marriage. And I quote to you here this morning from the Declaration of Feminism in 1971. It reads there, "The end of the institution of marriage is necessary for the liberation of woman. Therefore, it is important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands and not live individually with men. All of history must be rewritten in terms of oppression of woman. We must go back to ancient female religions like witchcraft." And then I quote from one of their recognized leaders, Gloria Steinem. She said, "By the year 2000, we will, I hope, raise our children to believe in human potential and not God." And this morning, I do not want to spend much time on this subject. I realize for some, even in this room, this would be a sensitive subject. I recognize that. But I do not want to spend much time on this subject in particular. But I simply do want to declare the truth this morning, that it is a great honor and it is of great esteem in being a mother whose priority in life is God and then her home and her family. That her career does not come before her children, and that her hobbies do not come before their husband. There is great honor in that position that God has given. There is great esteem that God puts into that position of a mother who loves God and loves her family and raises her children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. For one of the highest callings for a woman is to be a mother and to impact the lives of the next generation. And so we find here in the scriptures that the first pursuit in the life of a virtuous mother is her family. But then secondly, I want you to notice as we move on, not only her family, but then also her work, her work. And look at what it says in Proverbs 31, verse 27. It says, "And eateth not the bread of idleness." And I want you to notice here this morning that out of the 22 verses describing the virtuous woman, the last half of Proverbs chapter 31, out of these 22 verses, 8 of them speak about her work. It speaks about her business. It speaks about her occupation. And this morning, I see nothing wrong with a mother who has a job or has a career, as long as that occupation or pursuit doesn't come at the sacrifice of her family. For the priority is the home. It is the family. And a virtuous mother has the right balance in that she looks well over the affairs of her household, but at the same time is not idle, not lazy, but productive and industrious in our pursuits, whether that might be in work or an occupation of some form. In Proverbs 31, verse 13, it says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. In verse 18, it says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. Furthermore, we find in these scriptures that she's an entrepreneur. We find here that she's good with her finances. It says in verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. In verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. And so a virtuous mother this morning is balanced in that she has the right priorities. It's not wrong that she's pursuing a career, but her priority is, number one, it is the Lord. It is that she would have a fervent walk with God. And then number two, it is her family, that she would raise up her children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then after that, we find here in Proverbs 31 that this woman who was busy at home at the same time was busy in her own business as well. And so we find here the balance of this virtuous mother. Her pursuit is her family. Her pursuit also, we find here, is her work. And so we find the personality of a virtuous mother this morning. We find the pursuits of a virtuous mother this morning. And then finally, I want you to notice with me the praise of a virtuous mother. We find the praise of a virtuous mother. In verse number 28, now down to the end of the chapter, the Bible says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And the Bible says favor, speaking about charm. Her favor here, and physical beauty, the Bible says, is vain. In that it is temporary. In that will not last over time. But a godly mother that fears the Lord, the Bible says, she shall be praised. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is a poor man who had a godly mother. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, that there's nobody on earth that's a poor person that had a mother that was godly and loved the Lord and feared the Lord in her life. And in closing, I want to share with you three mothers that feared the Lord and influenced their children and their family for the things of God. And first of all, I find the first character this morning of Hannah. And Hannah is a representative of a woman of prayer. A woman that was a prayer warrior in her home. She was the mother of Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. We find here that the very life of Samuel was an answer to prayer of a godly mother. And Samuel grew up, and he went on to be the final judge of Israel, and he went on to be the first prophet for the kings of Israel. And much of his success must be accredited to the fervent prayers of a godly mother. Charles Spurgeon said, I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. And mark it down here this morning, behind every great man of God and behind every great woman of God, there was always a godly mother. There was always a mother in the corner. There was always a mother early in the morning, late at night, that found a corner of the house and got on her face and her knees before God. And nobody might have seen what she was doing, but for hours upon hours, she prayed for the salvation for her children. Hours upon hours, she prayed that they would turn out right and get away from the world and sin, and they would live a life that is upright and righteous in the sight of God. And I thank God for mothers that have sacrificed on their knees in prayer before God, interceding on behalf of their family. And that's who Hannah was. Hannah was a godly mother that spent time in prayer because she knew the power of prayer. That through prayer she could have a son. That through prayer she could have a godly son that would make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. I think about the mother of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor is the great missionary to China. He started the China Inland Missions, and he was saved in large part because of his mother's prayers. And the story goes that one day his mother was away at her friend's house, and while she was there, she became very burdened and concerned for the salvation and for the soul of young teenager at that time, Hudson Taylor. And that day at the friend's house, she asked if she can borrow a room. And she went up to that room and she locked the door behind her. And she made a commitment before God. And she began to pray for the soul of Hudson Taylor. And she said, I will not leave this room until I have peace from God, that Hudson Taylor would be saved and become a born-again believer. After several hours, she went home after she received the peace of God. And the first person that she saw was Hudson Taylor. And unknown to her, Hudson Taylor, during those hours of her prayer, he had gone up to the attic and he found a little booklet that belonged to his father, and it was entitled The Finished Work of Christ. And that day he opened up that booklet and he read it all the way through. And at the end of it, he came under conviction and he prayed and he asked Jesus Christ to be his personal Savior. Little did he know that 70 miles away, there was a loving mother, a godly mother, who had gotten her way into a room and had prayed for the soul of young Hudson, that he would be saved. And I wonder here this morning, mothers, are you praying for your children? Are you praying for your little ones? Look, there's a world out there that wants to devour and destroy your children. There's a world out there of demons and devils that want to destroy the life of every single person in this room. They want to devour us, that we would have no testimony for the Lord. And we cannot go out there and fight them physically, but we can get into the prayer closet and pray before God and get the power of God resting upon our family. We find here a godly mother by the name of Hannah. She was praying. That was her way of helping her family. She was praying. But then secondly, I want you to notice Eunice. And Eunice was the mother of Timothy. And we find here that she was a woman of the Scriptures. She was a woman of the Word of God. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, meaning the genuine, the real, the true, the vibrant faith that is in thee, speaking about Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. We find here three generations. Paul says, you have faith this morning. You've been raised in the things of God, and I see great faith in your life, but it began in Lois, which is your grandmother, and then it was passed down to Eunice, who is your mother, and now I see that same faith in your life as well. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, and that from a child, once again speaking about Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And we can conclude from these verses here this morning that Timothy was taught by Eunice, his mother, the Scriptures, the Word of God, that Eunice laid the foundations in this young man who later went on to become the apostolic representative Paul, the man that went on to oversee the church and the affairs of the church over in the city of Ephesus, the man that was commissioned to appoint elders all throughout the island of Crete, the man that went out there and made a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ and started churches and preached the gospel. Here's a great man of God, but it began with a mother that faithfully taught the Scriptures at home and built him up in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find here a godly mother like Hannah, who was a woman of prayer. We find a godly mother like Eunice, who was a woman of the Scriptures that took time to teach the Scriptures to her children. And then I find finally this morning, I find the testimony of Jochebed. And Jochebed is the mother of Moses. And she is a woman of faith that we find in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And you see here this morning, every mother has a natural instinct to protect their children. But even the most diligent mothers cannot protect them from every sinful attack and the temptations of a godless culture. And every mother must faith and trust their children to the Lord. And that's what Jochebed did. As we think about little Moses, she let go of her baby Moses in the riverbank, and she entrusted his life to God, to the Lord. And I believe this act of faith not only preserved the life of Moses, but it also influenced Moses to be a man of faith in his adult life. In Hebrews 11, verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And Moses went on to become a great man of faith. And we think about this wonderful leader for the Lord. He delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. He received the law from God on Mount Sinai. He led and governed the people of Israel throughout the wilderness. But none of this would have been possible if he didn't have a mother of faith. If he didn't have a mother who trusted in God and a mother who paved the way for Moses, that in the future years he would look back and see a legacy of faith within his family, especially the faith of his mother that would encourage him and drive him to live a life of faith as well for the Lord. And look, this morning we must pray for our children. And yes, we must teach the scriptures to our children as they grow up under our influence and within our homes. But then we must trust them to the Lord and live by faith. And we must live by faith and leave an example and a legacy that they too might follow in like steps, that they would live by faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. And mothers, this morning, you have an awesome privilege and a great responsibility given to you from the Lord. And this is an honorable position that God has given to each and every one of you. And I want to encourage you today that you would be a virtuous mother. I want to encourage you today that you would continue to be a godly mother and a virtuous mother for your family, that you would be wise, that you would spend much time in the scriptures, in the Word of God, that God will give you wisdom, that God will help you how to raise those children. It doesn't matter if they're still living at home. It doesn't matter if they're grown and out of the house. It's never too late to be a virtuous mother and a godly mother for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to be a wise mother in the Word of God, to be a mother like Hannah that spends time, much time in prayer, to be a mother that we find like Eunice that teaches the scriptures, and then a mother like Jochebed that lives a life of faith, a life of faith, trusting in God, not only in her own life, but trusting in God for the life of her children. And I believe if we can live that type of life, that God will bless our homes and God will bless our families and God will give us generation after generation of young people that love God and want to give their life to serve Him with their lives. And I pray that would be our desire here this morning.